Couple of notes before we be in today's Fochus Corner. We'll warn you that TJ's first 5 minutes, he's in the car, so it's a little choppy. I edited out as much as I could, but once he pulls into his spot, the audio improves. So if you want to fast forward, we lost a lot of his recruiting information, so that part, you know, unfortunate. But take a listen and fast forward a little bit if you don't like the sound of the first 5 minutes. Otherwise, this is an incredible podcast. Couple other notes. If you haven't seen Twitter or Instagram, we did launch a London bracelet, which London's mom actually designed with London's input, and it's an amazing piece. We only have a few left. We launched that yesterday, so check that one out. I'll put that link in the description. We also have our first licensed product. Check that out, as well as a crop top tee. I think there's one last Tomas Walden Tensei item left, game used item left. I think it's the shorts, signed shorts. So take a look at that. That's all in the shop. Again, link in the description. Otherwise, today's Fochus Corner features TJ Bannister. All right, this week, you know, we've had a couple weeks off of the Fochus Corner, but we're back again. Our somewhat sporadic off-season podcast. Got Phony. How you doing, Phony?
I'm good. I've just been kind of stepping back from sports and all that. It's nice to have that little break before we just get totally amped up again. So I'm glad the transfer thing kind of settled down and we've been able to relax and we'll be
soon enough. Dougie Freshsmith. What's going on?
I'm up here. I spent the day with Willie Dersh. I'm not sure if TJ knows Willie.
Yeah.
I think TJ might be right after Willie, but I spent the day with Willie Dersh, fellow brother, UVA basketball alumni. So I had a great day. Great weather in Jersey City. So
I was saying earlier, we had Sean on the podcast, I don't know, a couple months ago at this point. But there's a name he mentioned that we need to shed some light on. That's TJ Bannister, our guest today down in Florida. What's going on, man? How you been, TJ? Wahoo Nation has not heard your name in a minute. It's been a while. So we really appreciate you jumping on. People, we want to make sure they don't forget you. Let's start off with how you got to Virginia. Like what you know, down in Florida, this is Pete Gillen. People don't remember this. I'll just refresh their memory. Your class was J.R. Reynolds, Gary Forbes, Dante Minter, yourself, Jason Kane, the Stash, and Vince. I don't know who Vince Red is, but he was on the roster. I don't remember him.
Vince was like a football guy, and then I think he redshirted on. You know, he redshirted with basketball or something like that. Walked on with basketball, but.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Vince was really good too.
So that was your class. So how did you end up at Virginia? What was your recruiting process like?
And honestly, it was just how can I say it? It wasn't planned at all. You know, Florida had actually offered me in my ninth grade year, but you know, every kid growing up, you know, I'm looking at the Dukes and North Carolinas and schools like that, and you know, I was like, man, I think I'm good enough to play at one of those schools. So, you know, I was just waiting on an offer from them. But in ninth grade, you know, I'm like, it's hard to commit and go to a school in ninth grade because I'm not even thinking for myself right then. You know, my dad is pretty much controlling everything and, you know, just telling me what schools he think I should go to, this, that, and the third. And so, like, when Florida offered me, I was just like, oh, thanks, but no thanks. And they weren't even really that good in basketball then, so. I basically just waited, and you know, I had an offer from Texas, but TJ Ford was still there, and I didn't know if he was going to leave soon. So, you know, I would have had to wait behind him. And then Alabama, they had Maurice, who played at, you know, played with LeBron in Cleveland.
Yep.
He was also there at Alabama. Wow.
Yep. We got you.
Okay. Yeah. So, I didn't know if I was going to sit behind those guys, and basically, I wanted to play when I went to school. So, long story short, you know, it's at the end of the recruiting period, and Virginia started recruiting me harder. And I guess Keith Jennifer, who was their point guard, had got in a little bit of trouble or whatever. And, you know, they offered me a scholarship. And
So then you get to UVA, and at the time, like, what was your impression when you finally got there?
I mean, it was everything that I expected, you know. I mean, the campus, you know, from everything, bro. Like the people there, like it was everything that I expected it to be, you know. And the basketball, you know, Coach Gillen, the whole coaching staff, man, they were great, you know. Like, and I love Coach Gillen even to this day, you know. I always make sure I check up on him. Like he was a great guy.
Yeah, we don't hear about that side of it very often. I think a lot, you know, fans kind of have sort of falling out with Coach Gillen just from you know how it ended. But like when you got there, what were your expectations when you get in there? Was it set up in a way that you were like, all right, I'm going to come in here? You obviously didn't know Sean Singletary was coming, but were you like, all right, this is like a good situation for me playing wise, or were you fighting for every scrap you could get at that point?
Honestly, I was fighting for everything. You know, I mean,
yep.
You know, when I got there, I, can you hear me?
Yep, got you.
Yeah, so I was fighting for everything, honestly, bro. Like my first couple of games, even in the little, you know, preseason games, I barely played maybe like 3 to 5 minutes, but you got to remember, we had Majestic Map there, Todd Billett.
Yep.
And then there was me, you know, just the incoming freshman who didn't really know much. And I kind of felt like, honestly, they recruited me just as like they were scrambling to find somebody, you know, like, dang, you know, everything that happened with Keith Jennifer. So they needed a guard. And, you know, I was still like a 4 or 5-star guard and whatnot. So they was just like, you know, I need to hurry up and find someone. And they scrambled to find me rather than really like, you know, knowing everything that I can do. And then so once I got, you know, once I started practicing more and more, I got some time under my belt. They realized that I could really play, you know. And so I think I kind of like forced them to play me, you know, because I was doing really good in practice every day. I worked my butt off every day. And then, you know, then we played, once again, it was the Maryland game again. John Gilchrist, I remember him. He had taken the ball from Ty Billett. Like, it was like two possessions in a row, and we ended up losing that game. So our next game was at Duke. And, I'm not thinking I'm going to play. You know, I haven't been playing that much all season, so. You know, we go into the locker room, you know, we meet, and then we're walking back out, and Coach Gillen comes and grabs me and says, hey, you ready to go? And I was like, oh, shit. Like, so I went out there and ended up playing really well, you know.
Wow.
And then everything else took care of itself from there.
So then you guys go to the NIT that year. How was that off season? Do you remember that first off season you had? Did you stay in Charlottesville?
Yeah, I stayed in Charlottesville. I actually stayed there and took the German house. Me, Devin Smith, Gail, and Jay, like all of the players, we all stayed there and took the German motivated. And next season, you know, that still didn't bother me because what people don't know, Sean and I have known each other since Eastern Invitational when we were like 6th and 7th grade, you know, so we had known each other there. And you know, so I was just like, all right, cool. You know, and we played with Todd Billett that, you know, last season we started 3 guards. So I wasn't too worried about him coming in and, you know, me not getting any playing time, you know?
Right. So then when Sean comes, we talked to Devin Smith not too long ago too. And he said it was a noticeable difference when Sean got there and what he was able to bring to the table. Was how was that for you competition wise? Like, that had to really help your game, no?
Yeah, it did, man, because like, I'm not gonna lie, like Sean is more of a scorer. Like, I scored in high school, you know, I averaged 22 and 11 my senior year in high school, but he was the guy that he was a score first point guard, and I was the pass, you know, in the ACC, and then playing in that type of atmosphere, like the guards, you know, in my mind, I'm still thinking I need to be a pass first point guard, but in reality, I needed to score more. And so my freshman, like I said, my first year against Georgia Tech, I scored a lot against Jared Jack, and we beat them. I started scoring more towards the end of my freshman year, because I realized, like, you know, the defense, the guys are so fast, and, you know, everyone out there in the game, all those guys could score, even Raymond Felton, even though he didn't score much, but, you know, he had an all-star team around him, you know what I mean? But, I kind of realized that the only way I was going to be able to play and, you know, make an impact was to score more. So I started trying to do that. And then, like he said, when Sean came, Sean proved that he was just like, he was a score, man. He didn't care anything about, he wasn't more a pass first and pass then score, if that makes sense.
Interesting. So then how would you say team morale was? Because this is towards the end of the Gillen era. You guys weren't, like, the winning wasn't coming easy. How did that, like, impact you and the team and the morale?
By having Sean, you mean?
No, just in general, like, you know, not winning, obviously, and putting that pressure on you guys and the coaching staff, right, to win and not getting it done. Like, was that wearing on the team? Was that a part of it?
No, I mean, but blame everything, both to blame stuff on whoever we want. It's always going to be the coach's fault. But at the end of the day, we were the players that went out there to play. And I can remember a lot of the times on scouting reports, we have a scouting report about a certain player that he can't do this, that, and the third. And we're, you know, like, let's say a guy can't go left and we're allowing him to go right. So, like, it was, you know, it was stuff like that. So, I mean, I wouldn't,
right.
I wouldn't necessarily blame anything on a coach. I always feel like the players have a chance to show what they can do, and it's up to us to go out there and play. And a lot of the times we just didn't play to our capabilities, you know. Like, the coaches can't go out there and make free throws for us. We had guys shooting air balls on free throws. Like, the coaches can't go out there and rebound the basketball and make you play with heart, you know. Right. So I wouldn't blame anything on the coach. I think it had a lot to do. I always took the blame as a player, because yeah, it starts with the coach giving us a game plan, but we have to go out there and execute it. And if we don't, then that falls back. It's supposed to fall back on us, but it's always going to fall back on the coach.
Did you feel the weight of that, knowing that your performance probably has an impact on whether this coach keeps his job? Does that yeah, pressure weigh on you?
For sure. It definitely did. Because, you know, like, oh, wow, even after my first year, you know, you kept people start saying, oh, you know, Coach Gillen is probably going to lose his job. But then, you know, I'm not bragging, but they were saying that I was like the savior. Like, I was the reason why he kept his job another year. And then, you know, so I'm like, I'm happy, you know, second year comes and then you're hearing that floating through the air, like, oh, Coach Gillen is going to lose his job again. So it's like, man, we have pressure on us, because I like Coach Gillen. Like, we don't want him to lose his job, you know?
Right.
And then, so the fans, you know, fans are going to be fans. They don't understand, man. It's a lot harder than you think, man. You have a group of guys that are from all different areas, and you're trying to get them to gel together and play together, and trying to get them to follow your system. And if you got two guys that aren't following your system, or even one guy, man, it messes up everything, bro.
Right.
Yeah.
So then when Coach Gillen does, you get the news Coach Gillen is leaving. What was that like for you? Like, he brought you in, you obviously liked him. Was that one of the reasons you decided to leave the program?
No, honestly, that was one of my biggest regrets, not leaving when he left. I'll be honest with you, because you see Gary Forbes, you know, he left right away. I think Dante Minter left right away. He went to Appalachian State, I think it was.
Yep.
And then Gary went to UMass, you know, and like, I stayed. I was like, you know, I listened to Lato. He's like, yeah, you know, you guys have been starting a three-guard lineup. We want to do the same thing. And, you know, but coaching styles are totally different, you know, and you got to understand, when a new coach comes, he's going to want to have, you know, he already has his mindset. Okay, you know, Sean was his guy, you know, and, you know, it was blatant, you know, and I love Sean like a brother. That's like my little brother. You know, we always talk just about life, and anytime he needed my car or whatever, when he didn't have a car, like, I let him use it. But you got to understand, like, when a coach comes in and he makes it blatant that that's his guy, and I stayed around thinking that, okay, I can still go in there and change this coach's thought, and that he's going to play us together, because, you know, I was a pass first, like I said, and I knew Sean wanted to score. Sean was more of a two guard and a point guard body, you know, because he could score the hell out of the ball. You know, if he was I always say, like, if Sean thought like me a little bit more, like as far as like being, you know, being a PG and like, you know, running a team, he would have for sure made an NBA team. Right. He would have stuck in the NBA because he was such a gifted scorer that all he needed to do was just fine tune his PG skills. And that's the only thing that kept him out of the league, you know? But, yeah, like I say, having Coach Lato, you know, it and I thought that I could change his mind, and it just was a terrible mistake. And on top of me having a double hernia repair, you know, it was just all messed up, man, my third year. And then most of the people don't know, like, I probably would have had to sit out. I for sure would have had to sit out because my grades started getting bad, man, and I would have ended up being on academic probation. And it was just like, I was so unmotivated, man. Like the first semester of me having, you know, I had my surgery. So that first semester, like I was down and, you know, I didn't, like, I knew like I wasn't going to have a chance to play with this guy. And then like the next semester comes and I'm trying to, you know, I'm fighting back, trying to hurry up and get back. And, you know, it was crazy, man. Like he had me try to do a 6 minute mile. And I'm like, I knew I couldn't do a 6 minute mile, even when I was healthy, bro. Like it was just impossible. But I can go out there when the game came, I can go out there and play forever. But I never been good at doing a 6 minute mile, you know. So he had me, I tried to do a 6 minute mile, then I had to do all these crazy things, man, to get back on the court. And it was just like, it was blatant that the coach just didn't really want me, bro. So like I say, the next semester my grades was just like, it was still bad because like I'm dealing with the fact I don't want to be there. I'm still suffering from a double hernia repair, and it was all a mess, man. And I really regret not leaving when Gary and Dante Mitchell left.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because, I mean, when you look at your numbers, your minutes, you know, 22 in 04 and 05, and then it drops to 13. I know you had the injury in there and all of that. Not quite fair. But I do remember there was a time where you, like you said, people were like, there's our guy, TJ, because you could get into the lane as well as anyone I can remember. And like you said, you draw the defense and then you kick it out, right. And you're really good at that. And then I remember Sean coming in and then being the point guard. It was a kind of a weird mix, but you could see something. And then obviously Gillen was gone, and then you got hurt, and then we never got to see what could have happened with that.
I think we played Miami at home. And that was one of the games I actually played a lot. And I came in off the bench and Sean bumped over to the two, JR at the three, Larnes was at the four, and Jay Kane was at the five. And when I tell you, we were killing Miami, dude, and just running it. And I'm like, you know, I was a guard, like, okay, I still required a lot of attention because I can get into the lane and I can shoot my floaters here and there if I needed to. And, you know, teams couldn't key it. When Sean was at the one, every team keyed in on him, like they can trap him off ball screens. They made it harder for him, you know? And I felt like I could relieve him to where he can go over to the two and he can just score, like do exactly what he wanted to do, you know? And I made it easy. I can set him up, you know? But I don't know, man. It was just, like I said, it was a mess. And I wish, you know, if Gillen would have stayed, I'm pretty sure my career would have turned out a lot different. And then, you know, who knows, you know, a lot of things. I for sure would have stayed at UVA and everything would have worked out fine. But I'm always a firm believer that God lets everything happen for a reason. And, you know, even transferring to Liberty, I still finished number two in the nation in assists my senior year, so I still had a great career, you know.
Yeah, then with where we are today, and that brings us to today with Liberty, Virginia. You still cheer for Virginia. We heard you say that earlier.
Right.
And then Liberty's got this Virginia tie with Coach McKay. Do you follow both programs pretty closely?
Good tie.
Exactly. That's why I say it's weird, man. I say God lets everything happen for a reason, because even after everything that happened with Coach Lato, this, that, and the third, you know, Coach Bennett, who's a great guy, man. I wish, you know, if he wasn't the coach, if Gillen wasn't a coach, I wish he would have been the coach when I was there, because he loves small point guards and everything would have been great, man. And yeah, it's just weird, like how, you know, Coach McKay, after I left Liberty, he goes down to Virginia. So, you know, I actually can't even think of my shooter name for Brooklyn, man. Like when he came out here, Joe came out to Orlando, you know, we hung out and talked a little bit, and you know, so I was able to meet him when McKay was there, so it was great, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
I try to ask all the guys that have been on here that played for previous coaches about what, how do you think you'd play under Tony Bennett? You think you can play the defense that he demands?
Yeah, I mean, that's what Coach Gillen liked. You know, Coach Gillen tried to be defensive-minded, you know, but that was one of the things that I don't know if you guys remember in the ACC tournament. We were playing against Miami, and Coach Gillen, you know, he had put me in at the end of the game to lock up Guillermo Diaz, and I stopped him, and we ended up winning that Miami game. So, like, defensive-minded, that would have been a perfect system for me to play in. And, I mean, look at the little guard, the little Clark that they have right now, you know. He's the same exact type of player I am, you know? Yeah. And so I think I would have fit in perfect with his system.
So then talk about this trend. One thing that everyone's talking about now, this transfer market, now that you don't have to wait, like you had to sit out in 06 and 07. How do you think that's going to affect the game moving forward, at least the college game, with all the possible transfers that can happen?
I mean, I think it's going to – it could be a gift and a curse. The way it could work out is that a lot of guys, let's say, for instance, I have a kid that I trained down here in Orlando, Shaquille Moore. He played at NC State last year as a freshman, and now he just transferred to Mississippi State. So the coach at NC State really didn't let him play his game and get loose how he wanted to. So now he'll go to Mississippi State, and he'll probably kill. And then now the coaches at Mississippi is going to look like the greatest coach ever. And then, you know, the coach at NC State, they're going to be like, why didn't this coach let this kid play his game, you know? Or it can be in a situation where, okay, a kid, you know, he probably didn't play that well, and then he transfers to a new school and he still doesn't play that well. So I think, like, if you got the chance to sit out, like, that extra year, like, you can become stronger, you can get faster, you know, you can just get your mental straight, you know. So it can work. It can be a gift and a curse, you know. You never know. It just depends on the player and how he takes advantage of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, yeah. So maybe tell everyone what are you up to now? What have you been up to since you've left?
So I just retired 2 years ago. So now I have two kids, married. You know, just living out here in Orlando. I have my training business called Mr. Cerebral Training, and also have my, you know, my clothing line that's also called Mr. Cerebral Train. I'm sorry, Mr. Cerebral. So. That's all I'm doing now, man. And, you know, the reason why I call it Cerebral, so I can tell you guys, is at Nike All-American Camp, Luke Ridnour, he was my coach, like my college council coach. And I was making a lot of passes to Amari Stoudemire and Yusuf Baker and Tack Minor. And he's like, man, you're a very cerebral player. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then so I ran back down the court. And then there was a timeout. And he came over to me. He's like, do you know what cerebral means? And I started laughing. I was like, no, I don't. And he's like, well, it means that you think the game really well. Like, I can tell, like, the passes that you're making, you're not making it just to make them. You know, you're making it off of, like, you're reading it. Like, I'm making situations happen. Like, I'm creating the situations. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that name, you know, that stuck with me in my mind throughout my entire career. And that's how I call my trainer Mr. Cerebral now.
Nice.
I watched one of your YouTubes earlier because I saw the Mr. Cerebral thing, and I loved it because it was all just awesome passes. It wasn't about the scoring. It was just all these just beautiful looks. And you know, that's the kind of thing I think Tony Bennett would appreciate.
Right, for sure.
So for sure. So you've been watching Virginia basketball a little bit. What was the championship experience like for you when you saw – where did you watch the game? How did that go?
I was at my house. I had some friends over, and man, it was a great experience, man. Like, I felt like I won the championship, you know.
That's cool.
Just seeing that photo of the guy, I think it was Texas Tech guy. He, you know, he had his hands around his neck with a choke, like acting like Cal choked or whatever.
Auburn.
Who was it? Auburn? Yeah, Auburn. Auburn, sorry.
Yeah,
Auburn.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember that photo, man, and then so when we won it, I posted that photo and was like, be humble. You know, you always got to be humble, man. And, you know, I was just so happy, dude. I was super happy. Like I said, I felt like I had won it. Like, you know, it was a long time coming, and that was just, it was great for the program, you know.
That's funny, TJ. You say that, dude. I'm 1993 Virginia, and we were out there in Minneapolis, you know, 100 of us or 1,000 or whatever, and we all felt the same way, right? Like, I was like, dude, I just won the national championship. Me, Harold Dean, Corey Alexander,
Right.
You know, and we all, you know, those guys won it and we felt like we won it, which is really cool. That's the point of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'll tell you something. My 6-year-old son was taking a test today. And he was doing, he had to do a test online. And he looked at me and he was choking himself. He's like choking himself out. He's like, "Dad, I'm going to choke on my test."
Oh my
it made
God.
Me, it made, right. It made me think of that.
Like, now, before we get negative feedback, I've seen a lot of people say that picture of that guy doing it, that's a play call that Tony Bennett even runs. That's a signal for a play call. And I've seen Tony Bennett call that play. So
no, here's a play call.
Now, Tony Bennett, it's a two-hand play. I'm sure there's video of him.
The kid was here.
I'm just.
Yeah, they said it was a play call, but it's.
I would have done the same thing, by the way. Yeah.
I don't blame the kid because it's perfect. It's just such a great visual with Kyle. Like my arms would be jelly at that point, at that moment.
TJ, imagine that. Like you got three. You got to make two.
Got to.
And Kyle made three. Come on, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, like that kid had ice in his veins, man. I'm like, even now, bro. It's like a lot of players can't go up there and do that, man. I've seen it even in pro basketball since I've been playing, man. I've seen guys, you know, trick off games just because they can't make free throws, dude. And to make three of them, that's crazy.
So me and you
with the timeout somewhere between the second and third one.
That's right, that exactly. Doesn't matter. But for me, when I shot free throws in college and I didn't make any, many points at all, whatever. I was like, I'm going to pad my stats. It's a free shot. And
exactly.
And that camera's on me now saying Doug Smith, Fayetteville, Tennessee. And I'm like, this is cool.
So, right.
But again, I'm not comparing with Kyle Guy taking three in the dome. So pretty cool. Tough.
Right.
Where did you play professionally after your career?
Yeah.
College.
So my first year I was in Germany. Then my second year Slovakia. Then I went to China that summer of my second year. Then I went to Lebanon, then back to China, then I went to Israel, then back to China. Then I went to Germany two years straight. Yeah. Then I went back to Slovakia, won a championship. Went to the Czech Republic, and then I went to Poland, and then I finished off in Qatar my last 2 years.
Wow. That's awesome, man.
So yeah. in all your time overseas, what would you say in terms of for the kids now that are debating, should I play overseas or go G League route? What would you say to that for a person that's kind of deciding or looking down on the international experience?
Well, honestly, I would, like, if the G League was the G League the way it is now, when I was coming out, I would have for sure stayed in the G League because, you know, they I think they're paying their contracts like 40 to 50,000 right now. Mm-hmm. But back then it was only there was an A level, B level, and a C level contract, and you know the A level was the top, the B, and then you know C, so forth, and then it was only like $1,500 or $1,600 U.S. dollars a month, which is, that wasn't enough money, you know, that's not even after taxes. And so when Chris Alpert sent my contract to my agent, and I was just like, I'm looking at everything, and you know, I said, you know what, this isn't the D League. It wasn't for me back then. But if I was coming out now, I would for sure stay in the States to be around a lot of NBA teams. But once you got a chance to go overseas and make tax-free money, and I was just like, you know what, I'll do my NBA workouts next summer. And then if a team likes me, cool. It, you know, I'll get picked up. But if not, then I'm just going to stay over here until I get that phone call. And, you know, like I say, the phone call never came in. You know, my pops always says he wished that I would have stayed in the D League because I probably could have got a call up. But at the end of the day, you know, it was my decision. And, you know, I was just I had a great career, man. And I enjoyed everything. And not a lot of people can say that they played overseas and, you know, traveled the world and got paid to do that, you know. So
that's got to be an incredible
experience. Yeah, man, I enjoyed my time of playing ball. So
it's also not everybody's made to like go overseas, right? Like some dudes, like
you have to be a different animal.
Exactly.
So what that's cool. You got to be a different animal because it's hard being away from you, away from your family.
Yeah, that's
you know, you're in a, you know, you're over, you know, people don't really speak your language, and you know, God forbid, you're in a small city like Slovakia. The team I played on in Komarno, it was so weird because so if you cross a bridge, you're in Komardom, which is in Hungary, and then if you cross a bridge, you're in Komarno, which is in Slovakia. So if you, you know, if you're in Komarno and you're trying to, you know, communicate to someone and tell them, like, you know, trying to ask them a question, they're speaking Slovak. And if you get closer to the border, you try to ask someone something, they're speaking Hungary. So it's like, man, it's tough, you know?
That's cool.
So you got to have your translators on hand. And but like I say, like, I wouldn't, those experiences, man, were awesome. You know, I wouldn't trade any of that because I also was open to learning their language. Yeah. And when they see that I'm not a stuck up American, as they feel like a lot of Americans are, because we don't try to embrace their culture and try to learn anything about them. It was awesome. You know, it was a great experience. And like right now, if I wanted to go back and play for that team, I can go back and play there because, you know, they love me that much, you know.
That's cool.
I got a question for you, Fresh. Was that an option for you when you were done with school? Did you really consider ever going back and saying, all right, I'm going to hit this? I know you went into Wall Street. You became big shot there. But I'm like, how much?
No, I did.
Like, no, how long?
No, I was going to play in Europe. Uh-huh. In Lucerne. Switzerland?
What?
I think Switzerland. Uh-huh. Lucerne. I had a agent. What was his name? Pantiagua. Some guy. Long story short, the guy, end of the day, you know, I was going to go there for 35 grand and somebody else went for 25. So I was out. I started on Wall Street and I got a phone call the day I started at my job on Wall Street making 28 grand that somebody wanted me in Manchester, England for something, 50,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. And I did the FX. TJ, the exchange rate, I did the wrong way. I'm like, motherfucker, I'm not going to go there for half the price that I'm getting here. Meanwhile, it would have been three times of It would have been three times the price that I made. You know, you get a flat, and this is, dude, 1994, TJ, a flat, a plane ticket, a car. I had to play once a week. I'm like, dude, do you know how much money I'm making here? $28,000 a year. You're going to try to cut me in half? He's like, actually, it's double. Anyhow. So, TW, to answer your question.
You thought about it. Yeah, I wonder how things would have went for you if you just said, I'm going all in hooping.
I can still hoop. Now,
you know that happens. You know that happens a lot even now.
I'm sure.
You're a vet, right?
Yeah.
Bro, you're a vet. So you're the vet. You know, you've been playing overseas 6-7 years. So you're not going to take anything less than 10,000 now. So you might have a rookie that's coming out. The team is going to try that rookie. If the rookie says, he's never made any money, so he's going to come over for half of that, they'll pay him 5 grand. 5 grand is a lot of money for a rookie that's never had anything.
He
goes over for that, and they feel like they can get, they say, you know what, we can get the vet. The vet is going to wait it out. We can get him in December. So they're going to save themselves a little bit of money. You know what I mean? So it's crazy how that happens. And those rookies are the ones that's messing up the market now. That's why a lot of guys are retiring early.
Right. But in my time, so I'm a 6'1 point guard, two guard, whatever. I think you might be smaller from what you're talking about. And when I was coming out, it was like two Americans per team. So everybody wanted a 6'7", 6'8", 7 foot black dude, a brother, right? From the U.S.
Yep.
Yep. And I'm, you know,
you're not that.
I'm not that.
Yeah.
So
they got plenty of short white guys in Europe, dude.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
So what do you think about this? How closely do you follow Virginia? Like, where do you think they're going to be this year in terms of, or how did you see last year going? Was it a success? How did you look at it?
I mean, it's always a success when you make it to the tournament, but it's not a success when you get put out early. You know what I mean? I'm just like, especially by a team that we shouldn't lose to, you know. But I blame COVID on everything since that's what everyone else is doing. So I'm just gonna blame it on COVID.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
That's, What do you think? What do you think about the team coming that we have coming back? I mean, we got, you know, Kihei Clark, I mean, champion still running the point. We got Reese coming back.
Right.
What do you think?
I mean, honestly, they're still going to be good, bro. Like, Ben, as long as Bennett is still there, bro, they're still going to be good. Yeah. He's a great fucking coach, dude. Yeah. I'm serious. Like, secret, you know, weapon. What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a secret weapon, and he's a basketball brain, dude. Like, as long as he's still there, they're gonna be just fine.
So you mentioned earlier he's reached out to you. What is your relationship with the current coaching staff? How often do you talk to them? Or any former players you still keep up with? Corey Alexander, for example.
Yeah, I talk to Corey every now and then. Like I said, I talked to him about a month ago, or maybe a little bit less than a month. When, you know, Grant Hill and I were in the gym. I talked to Justin. I talked to J.R. Sean, Jason Kane, Devin Smith. Devin and I were actually out in Israel together, so we were hanging out all the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
That's cool.
Yeah, and you know, coach, like I said, I don't really talk to them on a daily basis, but you know, if I'm there, like in Virginia, or maybe on Messenger, we'll chop it up a little bit. But yeah, Coach McKay, I actually went up to Virginia maybe back in November. I went up to Virginia just to, you know, to visit. So I spoke to everyone then.
That's great.
But yeah, I keep in contact with a lot of guys. Elton Brown, we talk a lot. Jason Clark, I'll chop it up with him. So yeah, I talk to a lot of guys, man.
That's great.
Maybe you guys can help us do it, but we've been trying to plan something for all of our families to get together and do like something like in the summertime, man, when everyone's off, and have like a reunion with all the players there. So maybe you guys can help us work on putting that together.
Yeah. Oh, TJ, we are
working on that.
Yeah. We'll do that for the newer guys. But so, you know, I played with Terry Holland and Jeff Jones, and we do it every summer. Jeff Jones brings us all back and we all hang out. And we all have a text group. It's about 25 of us, and we're tight, man.
Yeah,
that's important. You sound like my era.
We need you guys help, man. We need to put, even with your guys' era, and then, you know, my era, we need to put something together where all of us come back, man. And
that's,
you know,
right.
Maybe it'd be like 60 people there, but you know, we can do something in the vineyards there. You know, something, just have a good time with everyone, man.
And we haven't announced it yet, so I'll just go ahead and announce it. We're working on a TBT team, a UVA alumni basketball tournament team, and that's part of the story. We're trying to bring everybody back, so we're putting that together. So we're gonna try to have everybody come back in some way, fashion, shape, form to just, you know, get together and have a reason. And we're gonna have a team in the TBT, and we're working on it, TJ. I promise.
That'd be awesome.
That's a goal of Locker Room Access, is bring everyone back together. And we're, you know, not just because of the game, but, you know, we're family. So,
yeah, TJ, you sound like one of those dudes that play with me, man. And we bring them all in, old school.
Yeah, man, I always like that, man. I'm big on like family type stuff. And, you know, even now, like even my friends that I've grown up with, or people that I've always been cool with, I always try to do stuff, you know, now that I have my family, I try to do stuff that involves my family, you know, that we can, you know, all, you know, go out and do stuff. You know, we go to like a brunch or something, you know, have some mimosas, and the guys can chop it up, let the ladies chop it up, whatever.
I like it.
But yeah, I'm big on friendships, man.
That's great.
Yeah, we'll absolutely get you in the loop to help us, or corral some more people into this.
All right, cool.
How is your... you said you're retired now, so you in your main, yep, mainly coaching training. How is the talent in that area? Like, where do you usually pull your clients? I don't know, you call them clients, your team?
Honestly, man, like they come find me, not to brag or anything, but like they come find me, man. And like a really good friend of mine, I'm sure you guys know Old School Bo Outlaw. Yeah, I trained his three boys.
Nice.
Yeah, so
from the Orlando Magic, he wore the goggles, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So I trained his three boys. Then Brandon Bass, you know, remember Brandon Bass from the Celtics? I trained his son. So a lot of them, you know, they post up on their page and then people just start hitting me up. And Mike, you remember Mike Scott, he actually came out here and trained with me last summer and the summer before last. So in his off season, he always comes out to Orlando with his family and, you know, we'll work out together and, you know, just hang out. So.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah. The UVA family. Yeah, Mike.
Yep, exactly.
We'll try and bring everybody back. What are your immediate plans for this upcoming season, or do you do anything during the season differently in terms of in season versus off season training?
Yeah, so off season training, I do a lot more like sand workout, you know. So we'll have like our basketball gym. We do like morning and afternoon. Morning we go at it really hard as far as like basketball stuff, and then afternoon we'll come back and get up a lot of shots. And then our Friday and Saturdays are pretty much beach workouts. So, you know, we get in that sand pit and, you know, get a lot of hard work done. And, you know, and then during the season, it's more like game-like stuff. So I'll check out, let's say, for instance, if I see a kid that's having problems coming out ball screens and reading ball screens, then that's what we're working on in this training. You know, it's all game-like specific training. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so.
Do you follow the NBA pretty closely?
Yes and no, man. Ever since my boy Kobe left us, man, I don't really care for it too much, man.
Yeah, I was just gonna ask you, like, you have any thoughts on who's gonna win in the NBA this season?
Honestly, if the Nets don't win it, something's wrong. Right. You know what I mean? Look, they have a freaking all-star team, so if they don't win it, something is wrong for sure.
And then
I'm gonna put my money on the net.
One last NBA question. What are your thoughts on Jay Huff? Is he gonna get drafted?
I mean, he can. Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, I for sure hope he does. We got a good track record of, you know, the good thing is that kids playing under Tony Bennett, they know that they're gonna be disciplined. So a lot of NBA coaches and GMs like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think he has a good chance.
Yeah,
we've been doing a good job of putting players in the league lately, so
yeah.
I think he has a really good shot.
We hope so. And we got the draft coming up here in not too long. Summer league's not until August, I think.
Yeah, I think everything is like pushed back now.
Back. Yeah, be interesting.
Yeah, because normally it was in summer league was in July when I was coming out.
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. It was really cool catching up, man. Wahoo fan.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all, man.
Phony, anything else? Anything new on Twitter we should be looking out for?
What's that?
Anything new on Twitter we should be looking out for?
Nah, man, Twitter is so quiet right now. man, you got some drama. There we go. Now, Twitter's been fairly quiet, and we're just, you know, we're laughing at the stuff that's happening at other schools. It's nice and quiet at UVA right now, which is how we like it. But having this Louisville, Dino Gaudio getting charged with extortion. I don't know if you thoughts on that. Like, he tried to extort him over the most minor of things. I mean, that program is such a dumpster fire. I love that they're in the league because we've done very well against them. And the Yum Center is JPJ West, but still, man, they don't bring pride to the league.
No. I mean, we definitely have a good record against them. Yeah.
Yeah, makes no sense. They're there, but I love it. We beat them down.
Anything new on your end, Fresh?
Nothing new, man. I love beating TJ. He's like one of us. You should have been 93 with me, man.
I know, bro.
You're one of us. You're one of us.
For sure.
Which definitely. I'm old school, man. These guys know I live and die. But I do have a question for you.
What's up?
University of Virginia basketball. Who is your Mount Rushmore? Your top, I'll give you five, not four. Your top five players in the history of the game. At Virginia, your criteria. Okay, well, your criteria. Whatever you want. Your best friend.
So you know you got to go with Ralph.
Gotta every time. He's the mountain.
That's why we allow five.
Right. Exactly.
I got. Let's say Brian.
Brian Smith.
Yeah, I'm gonna put B in there.
You think? Oh, you know?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
He knows. Yeah, he knows.
I just casually have this, right?
he knows.
Let me see who else I'm going to throw in there. I'm going to put Sean in there because he's a great fucking player. You know, he, his college bucket. Career was unbelievable. He's a fucking bucket. Exactly.
The guys in my time call him the GOAT, for the record.
Yeah.
For sure. He is. GOAT. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Let me see who else I got.
You got two more.
Yeah, for sure.
Put a championship.
I know it's a lot of pressure right now. Yep. I'm gonna throw Mike in there, bro.
Yeah, Scott.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw Mike Scott in there.
You play with him?
Didn't play with him, but I watched him and his work ethic.
Respect.
You know, the reason I'm throwing him in there because Mike, when he first came to Virginia, he was only low post. He wasn't so much of an outside shooter, and he developed his outside game to where, like, he was like, that's why he got drafted. You know, if he would have been a 6'8", you know, low post player, he wouldn't have made it to the NBA. But that's why he got drafted, because he really worked on his game, and he's one of the players I can actually say. What'd you say?
He had that mid-range game his last year that was just –
Exactly, but he didn't have it his first 2 years. That's why I say he developed his outside game, and then his three ball now is, like, almost automatic, you know. So I'm going just because I watched him develop. And then last spot, oh, man.
Yep. You got
last
one.
Last spot. I got Corey. I got Harold. Damn.
Now you can put a coach in there.
Dino. Too. Dino.
Yeah. You can put a championship guy. You can put
you
yourself.
Got June. Put yourself on. You got you. Yeah, put yourself in that motherfucker. Who cares?
I'm not gonna throw myself in there though. Oh man. You know who I'm gonna put in there?
Go.
It's gotta be either Devin or Todd, because I play with them. Because the reason Love I would it. Put Todd Billett in there, dude, is because, man, this guy hit three freaking game winners his senior year on, like, big, big, big games. Clemson, North Carolina, and Georgia Tech. Like, he hit some big-ass shots for us that year, dude.
Devin
played almost the whole year with a herniated back.
Yeah.
And was out there killing, man. So I'm going to have to – I got to put both of them up. Let's just say Devin Billett.
I like it.
I love it.
I'm
going to
throw Devin Billett in there. Yeah,
you gotta show your team.
That means you're a loyal motherfucker like me. So that's
super
cool.
Super loyal. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
That's how we are.
Appreciate your time again, man.
No problem, bro. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate you guys for having me.
No, next time when you're driving your car, make sure the service works wherever you are. So,
I'm in, like, downtown. If you know downtown, have you been to Orlando before?
Of course.
Downtown,
yeah, man.
Windermere, dude. The service is unbelievable. It's terrible.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you, I have T-Mobile. When I'm in Charlottesville, I go to the Boar's Head or somewhere, and my shit doesn't work. So I get it.
Right.
I got no bars.
Makes sense.
Right. Yeah, man. Hey, look, if I come out to Charlottesville this summer, man, we all got to get together. But I hope you guys really do work on, you know, getting all the guys back together for something in the summer, man. We'll have to.
We're working on it. If not this summer, definitely next summer.
Yeah, for sure, bro. For sure.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna invite you when Jeff Jones has his thing, because you sound like us. So not everybody's invited, for the record, but guys like us, you, Willie, Dersh, everybody. Yeah. So
I love
you
it.
Can come exactly. back. All right, man.
That does it for this week.
All right.
We'll catch you guys soon.
All right, man. Y'all have a good night.
Take care.
Good night.
All right.
Peace.